All right, Tay Ricks joins me here for Sports Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max, Live 365, iHeartRadio, one of the nicest R&B artists coming up in the game right now, all the way from Florida, grew up in Arkansas. We'll get into the history. He was born in Arkansas. We'll get into the history of everything, but Chasing My First High, go check out that new single. He's got a lot on the way here this year, and he's going to be really putting on for R&B. He carries it in the old tradition, as I checked out the music, carries, if you love 90s R&B, that's the wave he's kind of going on, as that's how I feel when I listen to his music. But Tay is here. Welcome to the show, man. How's everything going?
Good man, thank you for having me, brother.
Of course, shout out to Al Nice, him telling me about you and just sending me your music. And I like what I hear. I know you've been saying big things that I've heard you manifest a few things, saying that you want to be one of the biggest artists in a few years. You kind of visualize yourself. So how about we start there before we get into your history? When did you realize that you were a visualizer? Because that's what you are. You have to see it before other people believe it.
Facts, facts. So it for me, it was about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I did what a lot of people are afraid to do. I quit my job and I decided to just go full time hard into this. And I told myself that if I was gonna be able to have a chance, I got to see it, because if I don't see it, how am I gonna be able to convince anybody else? You know what I'm saying? So it started there. And then once I told myself, listen, man, you could do this. Just believe you can do it. You've been doing this your whole life, like you said. So yeah, I am music. I don't know a time where music was not part of my life. So fast forward to the day, like I said, I've been able to manifest a lot of amazing things. So man, it's going great.
Yeah, we can get right into your history now, because you've already always been around music. I think your stepfather was a pastor, and you kind of grew up in the church. Was that the early beginnings of stages of becoming a musician? That's discovery right there.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
My mom plays and sings, and she wanted me to follow in her footsteps, and she put me in piano lessons at a very young age, and it just started there, man. And I look back now and it's just like, wow, you know.
Now, how were those piano lessons? Did you notice that you were kind of musically gifted? Because I know there's certain people that when they take piano lessons, it comes like this, and then there's other that takes years for them. And I can see a piano behind you right there. So was it kind of a natural thing for you?
When I took those lessons when I was younger, I actually hated those lessons, man. I didn't like the teacher. I was learning songs that I didn't really care to learn. I was young, I was 8. So, you're a kid, you want to go outside and play basketball and do what other young boys doing. It was at that time, I think it was my mom maybe seeing it in me and pushing me more than I was ready to accept. But when I got to high school, I somehow ended up in keyboarding class thinking it was a typing class, and it ended up being a chorus keyboarding class. And I spent the first 2 days actually trying to get out of that class. And then the music teacher knew my mom, knew my family, knew the history, and she said, no, I'm not gonna let you get up out of here. She made me stay, and within about a month or two, man, I was leading the class. You know what I'm saying? So
Wow. Yeah. See, you took charge right away. It's
yeah.
from there. When did you kind of start? Because you kind of get into a little bit, because you mentioned that you were working a job, then you quit. So kind of get into like your just travel of life to the point where you said, all right, I'm just going to take this music thing and run with it.
Wow, so like, I mean, I gotta go all the way back to that. I left high school and went to the military. So I left high school,
Wow.
I went to the military, joined the Marines 2001. I graduated from boot camp 4 days before September 9/11. So, I thought I was gonna go in and maybe just get a college degree, and I went in and I shipped off. So so from that, I did 4 years, and I was like, okay, I definitely don't want to do this. I got out. I was able to go to college. I went to USF, got a 4-year degree in accounting, and I decided that, I enjoyed it, but life never just felt complete. You feel me? Like it
Yeah.
just never felt complete. So, fast forward to 2017, I was at the job. I really just wasn't feeling it, like just health situations going on, because just stress, just it wasn't, I found out now, it just wasn't me. It wasn't who I was. Wasn't who I was at my core, and I wasn't being true to myself, and I wasn't being honest with myself. So I walked away, and I said, man, music is what you've been around, man. It's when you look up, it's just everywhere. Like you said, look at this room. You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah.
like, this is your life purpose, man. Step all the way into it and you're gonna be okay. You know what I'm saying? So and that's what I did. So I stepped into it. I started writing heavily. I started, I turned the TVs off. I cut the cable for a couple of years, and and just started really digging into, you know, creating my sound, creating who it is, and like you said earlier, manifesting to who I want to be. So that basically is my journey. And here I am today, man, you know, on a radio podcast with DJ Mad Max, because I continue to speak it into existence, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's big. It's something that you mentioned that was interesting is that you had to cut the cable because there's a lot of distractions now. So how do you kind of just deal with the distractions of social media? I think it's toxic as hell. I'm just gonna
I
tell it
agree.
like it is. I
I
feel so
agree.
you kind of
Yeah, I
just
agree.
need to just post and get off and stay off
Facts.
there.
Facts. So like just like you said, man, I do think like prolonged exposure or not knowing how to use it for people who are trying to use it as business. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to use it for business, like you just said, get on it, do what you gotta do, be the creator, not the consumer, right? Be the creator, create your content, and go back to living your life and doing what you need to do. But once you get on there and you become a consumer of that content, because like they have set it up to now where it's easy to get caught up into it, and you'll lose a couple hours. You lose, you know, hours out of your day. You lose moments. You lose sparks of inspiration because, you know, you own that. So for me, I try to post, do what I need to do, and you know, connect, network with people, and get back into the studio, man. You know, keep writing.
That's how you do it. That's how you're supposed to do it. Because when you see it, you'll see someone with like 50K followers, and it's like they got blue checks, and it's like I never heard of them before. You know, obviously they're bullshitting, but you know how it
Right,
is.
right, right, right. It's easy to get discouraged, man, but you gotta like you said, and I've been there, trust me. I've gotten sucked into social media. I've gotten sucked into trying to build followers. I mean, I've done it all. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I've done it all to try to get myself to where I need to be, and I never got there. You know what I'm saying? I never got there until I started just focusing on me. So that's the magic. Like, focus, once I started focusing on me, then things started moving. So
That's real because people are always looking for validation from other people. I couldn't care less what anyone else thinks about me. I felt this as though about that for myself years ago, but I think that's what it is. It's the chasing my first high. You know, we're going right into the single. So people are constantly trying to seek validation from just random people when at the end of the day, all you can do is validate yourself.
Right. And to me, that's what social media allows us to forget, that it doesn't matter. You know, you start seeing those numbers and you start seeing the likes and, like you say, the checks. All of these are psychological triggers to make you feel less than, to make you feel like you want to chase that. But you know, like you just said, man, I've been there, and I gotta chase my first time, man. And that's music.
Yeah, chasing my first. Now that we touch base on the song, are you? Because we know what that is. You know, when people first, you know, get, you know, screwed up and they're getting into the nonsense. We know with the drink
Right.
partying and all that, the drugs. Did you
Right.
kind of want to relate it to a term of? Because when you look at it from an artist perspective, they can. A
Right.
lot of times, artists are always chasing that first album drop. You know, a lot
Right.
of times they can't surpass what they first release and they're constantly trying to recreate, and they can't. Was it kind of more of a related process to that as well, just aside from the partying and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So there's a duality, you know, to it. And I guess there's a duality in a lot of my songs. But for me, as on the artist and the creative side, it's like getting back to that childlike phase when it was just fun to just spin around in the room and just sing your favorite song. And like you said, you didn't have to worry about social media or whether somebody liked you or whether, you know, like some of those beautiful, most beautiful musical moments of my life was really just in my childhood, just really learning how to sing and learning how to play, spending hours at the keyboard with no distractions. You know what I'm saying? Not thinking about anything else. Nothing else outside of that room mattered in that moment. You know what I'm saying? Those were the first musical highs that I had, listening to those, you know, those songs that became your favorite back in high school, made you want to fall in love, you know what I'm saying? Made you sad or whatever, or some of those songs. Like, I think our earliest moments are our most pure. And like you said, and as we grow older and get older, sometimes we just trying to get back to that.
Exactly. Who were your influences in high school? Because it sounds as though that's when you were kind of really tapped into the music
Man,
game.
like anybody that was, you know, they had the R&B groups in the 90s, man. So, you know, your Drew Hills, your Jodeci's, your 112, you know, Usher was young at the time, but you know, that's my guy, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, I was listening to those guys, man. Me, my brother, My cousins, we had a little quartet, we used to do the talent shows and stuff. So I did it all, man. Like it was a lot of fun,
Yeah. No, I know Usher's going through a lot right now. You probably heard about all the non just craziness, but it's, I just look at it as you don't know what to, you can't tell what's real or not anymore. And we got to stop with this, with the whole cancel culture of artists, because you can't take away the history that these musicians brought to the game. And there's a lot of hate that's going on now, just with these stories, and you can't take away from an artist. I get tired of seeing it. Every time you log on to Twitter, who else are they trying to cancel or bring down?
Right. Those moments, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, those moments are like so small, like you said, in your life. You know what I'm saying? And social media, because of what it is today, it has the ability to take those small moments and make them bigger. But 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, they'll be talking about something different. You know what I'm saying? So,
Yeah.
and I think those guys who have longevity know that. And like we said, they probably focused on their craft. They probably not even on social media like that.
Yeah.
You feel me? It's just, it is what it is. So,
What's your thoughts on the current state of R&B right now?
I think R&B is coming back.
It's coming
I really
back.
do. I think it's back. I think that in a lot of ways, people want substance again. You know what I'm saying? I think people want, and the world at least, in a lot of ways, needs love. We need connection. We need relationship. We need positive messages. You know what I'm saying? We need positivity. We need to spread that like ASAP. You know what I'm saying? And R&B in the 90s was that in a lot of ways. So I do think R&B is definitely on its way back just because a lot of people are just fed up, man. I'm be like, I hear the same 20 songs on radio. And I was just saying today, and I remember it driving in the car and singing all the songs, singing songs on the radio, and it's like, there was a point where I stopped listening to the radio because there were no songs that you could really vibe to. Like every
No.
song just felt like a club song. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like to me, I feel like it's definitely coming back. A lot of people are latching back on. And the fact that, you had, Rihanna, did the Super Bowl, and then Usher did the Super Bowl. I just feel like this wave is just coming. That's how I feel personally.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm with you on that, and I agree with the radio thing. Yeah, you can't listen to what's on the radio now, because they don't play what's real. They play just whatever they're paid to play, and it's just. Yeah, it's not that good. When you look at R&B, I agree with you that it's coming back. Artists such as yourself, there's a lot out there, but it's just not what it was in the 90s, in the early 2000s. And I think a lot of it is too because of the toxic culture we're living in now. Because a lot of times when you saw the, LL Cool J, Hey Lover, you got the whole Tinder culture now. You got this toxic relationship going all over the who's sliding in one DMs and this one, that one. What's the body counts and all this crap. So it's not the 90s anymore where it's like, yo, let's go chill in the park. It's a whole other different world we're living in right now.
No, it is, man. Like we talk, me and my wife talk about it a lot. It's like the music really does shape a lot of people's reality. And there was a time, I don't know how old you are, but there was a time like the
24.
90s. Well, how old?
24.
Okay. So there was a time in the 90s, like you said, you had the lovers and it was like lovers and friends. And then the early 2000s came and it was beer, beer, and it was tear the club up. And it was, and like, I mean, there were times where I was like, bro, I don't want to go to the club because it's like, you really got to fear for your life in some of these
Yeah.
places. You start hearing these songs and you just see the vibe change. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it shows how powerful music really is to our subconscious. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, that's why I feel like R&B definitely has a room to come back because I feel like people still need to hear about the positive messages that R&B used to carry. So.
Yeah. And you're right about that. Just with the positive messages, we need it. We need it now more than ever. The toxic stuff has to stop on social media. It really has to end. But you know what's crazy? Because you mentioned that you were in the military earlier on in this interview. I think when I did an interview with Intro with Buddy Wyke and Jeff Sanders, they met in the military, I think with Kenny Green. Are you familiar with their history and coming together and that they were in the military?
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
No.
so I'm just giving you that comparison right there because you were both in the military.
Wow. That's what's up.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of guys that I serve with, I mean, a lot of them, they've gone on and they've got kids now and they've got families and they've got jobs and careers. There was a couple, so I did do some music with a couple guys that when I was in the military, but I definitely haven't kept up with those guys. So.
No, and you're still doing it by yourself. You know, sometimes a lot of people, it's just not what their destiny is, and music is your destiny. I was reading on, because I always go and look at the bottom of a person's album or single. I think it's Inna Vibes. Is that your label?
Bob, yes.
Yeah. So when did you start this label, and just how far are you looking to go with this? Are you looking to do a partnership with a major, or you're kind of just staying the course of being independent?
So I started label in 2013. I was still working, you know what I'm saying? But like I say, I look back now and I just always was trying to, like I said, lay a brick a day, just do something towards, music. So for me now, I'm independent now. I like the freedom of creativity now. We're promoting shows through that label now. I filmed a live concert series that we're gonna put out here soon. I filmed that through the label. So I'm enjoying that. So whatever makes sense down the road for Inno Vibe and Tay Ricks, I'm willing to step into it as long as it makes sense. But for right now, I'm definitely enjoying what we're doing.
As far as songwriting goes, and when you look at your career, what do you feel as though you want to take to the next level? That's going to be, do you kind of want to collaborate with like a Teddy Riley or a Pharrell? Is that something kind of you want to get there on like the production side of things? Or are you as someone, as an artist, that you want to strictly, you're the only one that wants to write your songs? Like, are you open to having like a baby face write for you or someone else write for you? Are
Man,
you
those
kind of like
facts,
just,
man. Like
yeah?
everybody you named is like
Yeah.
everybody. Teddy Riley, like I said, that's one of my legends, man. Teddy Riley. Who else did you name?
Oh, Pharrell. Yeah.
Pharrell, T-Pain. He from Florida as well. So Babyface, I grew up listening to a lot of his songs, man. Let's just speak it into existence, man. Anybody that is down and willing to work with Tay Ricks, I'm definitely willing to work. Like I've There's no egos, man. I love the creative process. I love trying new things. So I'm working with one of my homeboys now, go by the name of Jay Russo. He does EDM music. You know what I'm
Okay.
saying? So I've been recording some hooks with him as well. And that's gotten me out of my comfort zone a little bit. But again, I'm learning a lot on that side as well. So definitely open to growing.
And I did, because we talked about you being born in Arkansas at the beginning of the interview. How did you get to Tampa, Florida?
My stepfather was a pastor and he had a church in Arkansas and he had an opportunity to come to Florida and take over a church here in Florida. So he came down early, he checked it out. He loved it. They loved him. It was a match. He came right back and he said we was moving. And it was a shock to me. I was in the sixth grade, going to the seventh grade, and I was a kid, so I didn't want to leave my friends. I didn't want to leave. You know what I'm saying? The family that I had there was a situation I was comfortable, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I don't know if you know about Arkansas, but it's the country.
Yeah,
It's
oh yeah,
the
oh, I could.
backwoods. So Florida allowed me opportunities in ways that Arkansas didn't. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I look back on that move. That move was probably one of the most significant things in my life, as well as my brothers and my sisters and my mom.
That's big. Yeah, and I think it helped out with your career because you're right near Atlanta. Florida's got a big
Absolutely.
entertainment space too. So yeah, you
Orlando,
needed to
got
get out of there.
Disney. Yeah, man. Like, yeah. So it when we got here, bro, I'm gonna tell you how country was. Like when we first flew into Orlando Airport, like me and my brother had never seen an escalator before. Like we had never
Wow.
been on. We played on that
It was like Deliverance.
thing. So like I come from very humble beginnings, and that's probably why I have a lot of humbleness and humility today, so.
Do you feel as though there's at times, though, because I agree with you with being humble, and I'm someone that tries to remain humble, but there's times when people try to play you, and it's like I know I'm good at what I do, and it's like you got to talk your talk. Do you feel as though there's sometimes where you kind of have to put the humbleness aside and be like, nah, I'm Tay Ricks?
More and more, I'm finding that out.
Yeah.
As you climb the ladder, I realize that, some people just ain't gonna respect you until you start talking that way. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, some people see if they see that smell weakness, they like to attack that. So, there was a time early on I was just definitely humbled, but now I'm standing on business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what I'm capable of, I know who I am, and I know what I can do. And I have a body of work that shows that now. So that's the biggest thing, is that I put the work in. So now I don't have to really be on that. They can see it when you look up my catalog. So, I think that's the biggest mouthpiece for me, is the action, the work, be about that action. So, and that's what I learned. So now I ain't really got to talk too much, but now I would stand on it if I got to, man. So.
What do you feel? Because I saw you in another interview talking about the king of R&B. What do you think it takes to be the king of R&B? What do you think it takes?
I think it takes a lot of work,
Long
actually.
longevity and hits.
I think it just takes a lot of work, longevity. And that's a question I never really thought about, man. I'm on that journey, so I guess we'll see.
Is that, but because I feel like people are always get caught up in accolades and titles. Is that what you really want, though?
No, it's not. Like, for me, it's getting up every day knowing my music changed people's lives. I guess that's the better way to put it. Like, I mean, 'cause to me, yeah, you're right. People are gonna give you a title, but to me, there's nothing. I'm not super big on titles. It's just a verbal goal to attain for me. But in a lot of ways, I'm happy and content with people. Like you said, when you first came on, you was like, man, chasing my first high. Like, I just want people to listen to the music and be moved by it. You know what I'm saying? Because we only got so much time on this planet to really make a difference. And I just want to leave my mark. And I think if we're here to create, and so as long as I'm here creating, leaving my mark on the world, the way I see the world, the way I've experienced this world, the way I experience life and travel through my ups and downs, I hope that can be a message, an inspiration to somebody else.
That's real. What's your thoughts on hip hop right now? Because I feel as though hip hop is, it's just, people say that it's, because I did read an interesting quote the other day. I forget where it was, and they said that hip hop is, it's in a similar stage of where rock was. It's in a dying stage, and I feel as though you have great artists out there, but the mainstream is just trying to oppress them. They're not letting the lyricists and the real
I
artists
agree.
win, and they're pushing people that, they call it rap, but it's not rhythm and poetry. It's, I'm just
Right.
putting it like it is. You know, we don't
No,
have
facts,
Biggie
facts.
and Pac anymore. You know, so we don't have these legendary artists, but we do got these guys like J. Cole, and you have like a whole underground
Lamar, yeah.
scene. Yeah, with Bar, you do got that. Like, they'll push them, but there's some other ones out here. They don't really push up like that. You know, they're playing people like Ice Spice. I'm not gonna name any more names, but that's basically an example.
No,
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So, what's your thoughts? Like, do you think it's kind of, is hip hop dying in a way? Is that kind of how mainstream is portraying it?
I think what the mainstream is marketing is not working anymore. I guess I
Yeah.
could say it like that. What they're marketing, like I say, people are not asleep no more. People are not just like, oh, the 15th song that sounds like the other 14 songs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's no uniqueness, there's no creativity. And it's not because the artists don't exist. You're right. It's not because they're not out there. I know, man, it's artists in Tampa, bro, that will blow your mind.
Yeah.
And they just don't have, there's no spotlight on them. There's no marketing dollars being put behind them. There's no label. There's no big brother like pushing it. You know what I'm saying? But they're here. And like we talk all the time, it's like, for me, get off of social media and just start doing shows and build your fan base from the ground up, because that's one thing that the labels can't stop. They can outspend you on social media. They can outspend you on TV. They can outspend you all day doing that, but they can't stop you from doing your own show and connecting with your fans on a personal level. And I think that's what people are coming back to. And COVID kind of proved that as well. Like, when people started sitting at home, more people started getting on social media and was using it. Like, remember how Verses got big out of nowhere?
Oh
Like,
yeah, and
Verses
now
got
it's like
big.
quiet. You don't even hear
Now, yeah,
about it
now it's
anymore.
quiet, but Verses got big because, they was bringing back a vibe that, to me, they was connecting. They was bringing old artists back, you know what
Dipset
I'm saying? And they were
locks.
bringing old songs back. and bringing back vibes that people hadn't heard in a long time because they was in their car listening to their radios on the way to work all the time. So now people are sitting at home and you got a choice of what to consume, and they're consuming something that's with more substance. So I don't think it's dying. Like you said, I think there's a lot of lyricists out here. I mean, I like I said, on the weekends, I go downtown Tampa, Ybor City, and listen to a lot of cats that I know, H, you know what I'm saying? My boy Kid, Fresh P, you know what I'm saying? A lot of cats that spit. Pusha Supreme is doing his thing
Yeah,
here in
100%.
Tampa as well. Right. So it's like it's a lot of cats out here, man. They just don't, they just don't have the marketing dollars, but they're taking the right approach. Because, like I said, they're on the scene and they're in people's faces and they're performing as much as they can.
Yeah. No, it's sad, but the Grammys got it right. They got Killer Mike the three Grammys there, even though he had to embarrassingly pay the price for it because he got arrested right off as he got the state. And we know why they did it, because if it was Taylor Swift or any other artist on there, you know they weren't letting the police in to take that artist out.
No,
You
no,
know, we know why
that
they
was
did
an
it.
interesting. Yeah, like we know that all of that's publicity, right? Like you put him up here for a second, and then you say, oh no, we're gonna bring you back down a little bit. But we know how that go, man. But at the end of the day, Killer Mike, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't hear Killer Mike songs on the radio like
No,
that.
yeah, no.
He won three Grammys. He
Yeah.
still won. So what does that say? I look at that to say, man, he's reaching his fans in a way that nobody can stop him. These labels can't stop him. Like these big labels have spent, they can't stop him. So I mean he's doing something right, and his fans, they know what time it is, and they're not gonna stop listening to his music and supporting him. If anything, that worked in his favor for his fan base.
Yeah, no, it did. I agree, and you're right about that. These labels got to get on board here, start marketing these guys like it was when you had like Loud Records and just how early Def Jam was. Get these guys that are actually talented that know how to make songs and they're lyricists and push real music against. Stop getting the takes off of YouTube and not even just YouTube, but more like the TikToks and the Instagrams. You know, stop looking for those trendy artists that are going to be hot for 1 minute and just gone the next. You know, you got to look for artists that have actually real talent with a body of work behind them. You know, you can't,
I agree.
it's all a meme. The music industry is almost, it's like a meme now. It's
I agree.
terrible. But I know I saw that you wanted to talk about sports. You're a sports guy?
I mean, I love football. That's my
Yeah.
sport, man.
Who's your
I'm here
team?
in the Bay. Tampa Bay Bucks, man. You
The
already
Bucks,
know.
yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats to your, I heard you re-signed Mike Evans.
Yes, we need him. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, we especially if they considering signing Baker Mayfield, we definitely need Mike Evans.
God, Baker Mayfield. I was a big Baker Mayfield guy when he came out of Oklahoma because I'm a Jets fan. So I was like, you know, get Baker Mayfield here to the Jets to save us. And we ended up with trash Sam Darnold. And we know how that happened. But he ended up going to Cleveland. He brought Cleveland to their first playoff in years, you know, before they just got there again this year with Flacco. But yeah, I don't know what happened with Mayfield. But yeah, you definitely need Mike Evans to help him
Yeah,
out.
we need Mike Evans. But like so my wife, so my wife's side of her family, they're all Browns fans. So I had the privilege of watching Baker Mayfield before Tampa. You know what I'm saying? So in that first year, he was smoking, and then
Yeah.
like years after that, man, he struggles, but he's a tough player, man. He ain't afraid to put his body on the line. He ain't afraid to like do what he needs to do to try to get the job done, irregardless of the outcome. So I feel like if they can give him, a good line, make and some better targets, some better. Well, we got some good targets, but some targets like keeping Mike Evans. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like in our division, especially, he can probably get to the playoffs maybe a couple more years, as long as we keep the defense that we got. You know what I'm saying? The defense really saved them a lot. I know that last game, man, against Carolina Panthers, they were, 32 last team in the league, man, and we won by field goals. So
Yeah.
we got to score some touchdowns. Yeah.
How did it feel to get that Super Bowl win with Brady?
It was magical, man, especially being here. Because the last time I want to say Tampa won, I was actually overseas. I was in the military. I was in the Marine Corps. I was on the USS Nassau on a ship the last time they won. So I was here when they won it this time. So it was magical, bro.
It seems as though that with your journey, it just being overseas and stuff, like how did that kind of just prepare you for life? Because not a lot of people, a lot of people, thank you. Like I do want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for your service and just, you know, your time there. And, you know, just, you have a lot of courage. You know, a lot of people wouldn't even have the guts to go into the military. You know, a lot of times people take a different route and I've heard some stories. I'm not going to get into it, but thank you for your service. But how did that kind of prepare you for life in general, even just how it kind of relates to you attacking? Because you kind of got to be militant moving in the music industry.
So for me, I mean, it took me out of an environment that I was comfortable and used to, and it showed me how, I learned how to move around, because the military was probably the one of the most diverse places I've ever been. You're 18 years old and you get there, and there's, kids from backwoods of Tennessee, there's kids from the boogie down Bronx, there's kids from, Virginia, there's kids from the West Coast. And it's just like everybody's different, but we all found a way, especially in the Marine Corps. It's like it's a brotherhood, so we all found a way to have common ground and enjoy each other and build a bond that I never had in high school. Build a bond that I didn't even have with some people in my family. You know what I'm saying? So it really taught me a lot about the importance of relationships, the importance of having someone's back, and like you say, how to move in a world where you don't know what's around the corner. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's, down the road, but as long as you got your brothers and you got people that care about you and people that support you, real people, not cats that's saying they support you and then just, want to ride the wave, but real people that support you. And my circle is small, man. It's real small. It's gotten smaller,
Yeah, you got to keep it that way. And you can't be open-hearted in this. And I know a lot of people try to preach me the bullshit that you need to be open-hearted, because I've been stabbed a lot in the back just for me being in the entertainment world and doing a show and being navigating through the industry. You can't allow a lot of people into your life. And it's not you just being negative. It's just because you just can't trust people. You don't know what their intentions are. You're right. You got to keep it to like two or three people, and that's it.
And I found just through the journey, man, that is, there's, you go back, you keep ending up with a lot of the same people that, you vibe with. You know what I'm saying? And to me, it's all about that energy. It's all about that vibe. That's why, that's why the name of the company is InnoVibe, because to me, that means a lot. Like the vibration, if we can click and we can vibe, you know what I'm saying? The music is going to be dope. You know what I'm saying? Life is going to be amazing. You feel me? Instead of having a situation where you're around people that all they really want to see is chaos. At the end of the day, they'll create chaos. Like you probably seen it, man. People will take a chill moment and just make it chaotic just because that's what they're used to, but that's what they see on social media, or that's what they see in the movies. And they feel like that's life, or that's how you vibe in the studio, or that's like, no, you can't get nothing done that way, man. Like I've seen it. Like there's no way to get things done when it's chaotic.
Yeah, no, you got to remain calm and just focus on yourself and continue to do you. What's your blueprint for 2024? What is the Tay Rix blueprint?
So we're promoting the show here coming up April 13th in back in Haines City in the hometown where my stepfather had the church. I'm coming back. It's called the Tay Rix Experience. And it's gonna be me and some of the friends I vibe with, some of the cats I've met over the years. I got a good comedian friend of mine here in Tampa, go by the name of Ryan Robinson, one of the funniest guys ever. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna go and do a show, and I'm gonna perform my hits, and we're gonna take that template, that blueprint, and we're gonna take it as far as we can take it, man. Nationally, internationally, and just go as far as we can go. So for 2024, it's the Tay Rix Experience.
I like that. How about performances? You kind of have some, do you have like an upcoming performance that you want to promote too that you got lined up?
So that's it. April 13th.
Just
April
the April
13th.
13th one.
Yeah, April 13th. Tay Rix Experience. It's gonna be in Haines City, Lake Eva Civic Center, Lake Eva Event Center. Like I said, I got a couple friends that are gonna fly in. Got some special guests on the list, and we're still working the kinks out. But it's gonna be a dope show, man. We're gonna make history.
Yeah. How about upcoming music? I know the fans, and I know just you as a creative, you're going to want to put out a song or an album. So what's the update? What's going to be next for you there?
Considering that, man, I got a couple. So I got, yeah, I've been working hard, man. So I got a couple more songs here. I'm going to release Ride or Die. That's a big one that people are waiting on. I put the teaser in my story when I was in the studio, and people was going crazy. So they want to hear that. So that'll probably be the next one I drop. I got another one called High Roller. And then I have a song with one of my boys from Mississippi, go by the name of Cool. We got a song dropping called Time for Me. We recorded it in Miami at House of Hits. So we got that coming out as well.
Oh, that's fire. It, Bliss, Fly Girl. What's your top song, you think, just according to your fans? What do you think is your t and just
Top
according to
song is
yourself?
Bliss.
Bliss,
Top
yeah.
song is definitely hands down Bliss, man. Like ever since I dropped it, people are like, man, that's it. Like that's it's doing numbers.
Yeah, dude, see, and we got to keep. Are you chasing that high still off of Bliss? Are you ch
So because it's like, man, I used to try to force myself to write certain types of songs. We all do it, early on you try to fit into a box, and then so but now I'm like, just let it flow, man. Whatever comes, right? I make a lot of my beats, I produce a lot of my beats, I create, like Bliss was a song I created every element in that song. So now I just let things flow. So I am chasing that Bliss again, but I don't force it. If the song comes out and it's not that type of ballad type song, then it's okay. I'll put it out. But one of these days, definitely it'll be something that'll top that. I'm sure of
If,
it.
yeah, 100%. If you were to recreate like a modern day Hey Lover, F You Tonight, throwback, what would who's that hip hop artist that you would choose? Because you're the on the R&B side, but who's the hip hop artist you would choose?
Man, I would have to choose one of my boys though. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wouldn't choose nobody else. I definitely would choose probably my boy B Street down in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, because
Yeah, shout out
we
to
grew
B
up.
Street.
Yeah, shout out to B Street. Like we grew up together. So, I know, and we've actually got a couple songs we haven't finished yet. And we've been trying to get back in the studio for the longest to get it done. So I know when we finally do get it done, it'll probably be a Hey Lover. You know what I'm saying? It'll probably be one of those type tracks. So
Yeah. Oh, that would be fire. The game needs it. Tay Ricks, man, is there anything else you'd love to let the fans know, the audience that we didn't talk about tonight that you want to make sure we get out there?
feel like we definitely covered it, man. Like follow me on IG, follow me on YouTube, Tay Ricks, TayRicks, Facebook, TayRicks, and like I said, Instagram, TayRicks. All my songs are up on all digital platforms, on Apple Music, Spotify, pretty much Amazon, pretty much anywhere you look, you can find Tay Ricks, man. And just follow me and support me, man. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you taking the time to have me on your show.
Of course, man. Anytime. And shout out to Al Nice for connecting us. Keep doing your thing, man. I checked out
Absolutely.
your music. Like I said, I know your records are ready. So you got it. Keep going. It's only up from here, man. And thank you for coming on the show. And once you got that upcoming album that you're dropping or singles and you want to do some more press, we'll get you back on the show for sure.
I definitely reach out, man. Like I said, I appreciate you, man, and appreciate L Nice. And man, like I said, it's good talk, man. A good motivating talk. I mean, you
A hundred
motivate me.
percent. Yeah, that's what I've been. I noticed I've been trying to do that for a lot of people in my life. I know certain people, I know you're gonna run with it because you're creative. Other people, they gotta get out of the dumps and actually follow what, because I'm someone that's manifested and visualized my whole life. I was a dreamer, so it's not a fantasy, it's real. You gotta get out of what you're living in and make
Absolutely,
your life
man.
a fantasy.
Yeah, I felt that energy when we first came on. So like I said, man, we'll definitely talk. We'll definitely talk and keep in touch.
Absolutely, man. Keep doing your thing. Big thanks for 2024. All right.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too.
Yeah, peace out.